I want you to play some, I want you to hear some music that's been performed, that was recorded in O'Flaherty's bar in Dingle. And you're going to hear from the singer, Fergus O'Flaherty, with Tom Lynch on accordion, David O'Doherty on cello, and Paul McKenzie on bouzouki. Have a listen to this.
They say tradition stands for naught when two teams take the field. I fear you are mistaken, lad, but I will make you weep. For when your hair was grey as mine and ears have made you old, then you'll invoke the truth I spoke of the kingdom.
And that is Fergus O'Flaherty, Tom Lynch, David O'Doherty, Paul McKenzie performing Gary McMahon's wonderful song, The Kingdom's Green and Gold. It's up on O'Flaherty Bar's social media. If you go to their social media, if you go to their Facebook account. So a great version performed there in Dingle. And we'll share it on Radio Kerry's Facebook page as well after the show. I'm delighted to say we are joined by the brother of the author of that, the creator of that wonderful song, The Kingdom's Green and Gold, Owen McMahon. Owen, good morning to you, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. First of all, what does it mean, or what does it feel like to hear, to know that your brother's songs, his works, are still being performed and still being loved and still being savoured, and in particular sometimes in the build-up to All Ireland Week?
Well, Tressa, of course it doesn't come as unusual, because the apple didn't fall far from the tree, because my father was composing ballads since the late 30s and 40s. So Gary picked up that gift from him.
And of course, and your father was Brian McMahon, the great writer.
Yeah. But he, Gary followed in that tradition, and he seemed to have the knack of writing lovely songs. I think last count he wrote staves and stanzas, was what he named his compilation of about 150 ballads or poems, which I hope one day to publish. But that Green and Gold was written on the 3rd of September 2000. Now, it came from within. It came from the love of Gaelic football and the love of county. Even though Gary spent most of his life in Newcastle West, he was still a proud Kerry man always, and was proud of the Green and Gold. But it's also, is in actual fact, the title of the song is called Dúchas, the Kingdom's Green and Gold. So it is a reflection of our culture, and it's wonderful to hear it sung. My father always said that you wrote ballads and they were like birds, they were meant to take to the air. And it was, he was, would be very proud if he heard a song of his being sung at Puck Fair or the Stole races, and he said, that's something done. Look, it's wonderful to hear it be played coming up to the All-Ireland final in on Sunday, and I was going back through some of Gary's writings and my father's writing, and my father wrote a ballad about the 1946 final, Kerry v. Roscommon. He wrote one for the Armagh, Kerry Armagh, 1953. He wrote another one for the Kerry Dublin, 1955. So Gary was following in that tradition. And if we look at the 1946, it's entitled, Who Can Beat the Kingdom Sweet? I bid you men remember then the lovely hills of home, the mountain brown o'er Dingle Town, Valentia on the foam, the silver fields and sweet Tralee, Killarney's heavenly plan, for none can beat the kingdom sweet, for horse or hound or man. So it's in that tradition that we sing it, and we're proud to sing it. And on a day like this and on a week like this, we remember those who wore the green and gold down through the years and who are no longer with us. And again, I was reflecting on that wonderful poet, Bernard O'Donoghue, from Cullen in the County Cork. And Bernard wrote a lovely poem, of course, which is well known, called The Munster Final. But he wrote another one called The Match Coach, and it's dedicated to memory of fallen heroes. And maybe I'd just give you a flavour of that, because it gives you what it's all about. I had just, or so I dreamt, moved on ahead to the bridge where the weeping willow bows down over the river, when I saw Gary McMahon running back towards me out of the mist. "Hurry on," he called. "The coach will leave without you, and you'll miss the match." "Who else is coming?" I asked him. "Who is already on the bus?" "John Cairns is there," he said. "Tom Creedon will come for certain. Humphrey Kelleher, Jim Brosnan, Christy Ring and Michael McCarthy from O'Donovan Rosses." "I'll come," I said, "if you're sure Toots is there. And tell me one last thing. Who is the driver?" Gary said, "If it comes to it, I'll drive the bus myself." That's in memory of fallen heroes, about those who are gone and who are on the coach in the next life. But, you know, that song, Gary sang it, and when he was writing it, he'd say to me, we practiced law for 37 years together in Newcastle West, and we'd be going to court together, and he'd be writing a song, singing a song. I'd be trying to read the file, and he'd say, "Lou, stay quiet." He says, "This is the song they'll be singing when I'm dead and gone." And so it is. It gives us a lift every time. And, you know, again, you go back to my father's writing. He wrote a poem many, many years ago called The Old Kerry Footballer, which went like, "I'm the stamp of an old hunter, let out on a field of grass, watching the altering shadows as the high clouds scurrying pass. But whenever the horn is sounded over hill and through Fursey Glen, I'm possessed of a youthful frenzy. I'm back a young man once again. Oh, that was the time when surely I was stalwart, strong and tall, as clad in a Kerry Gansey, I leaped for the flying ball. Yes, that was the time now remembered, when of steel seemed my heart and hand, and my name was lipped by thousands the length and breadth of our land. And now rigid limbs bell an answer to Park Tundra's cheer, born from Dublin's fair city to fill Ireland from Mallon to Clear. Unbowed now I raise up my badgery head, not in grief nor in sadness grey, but rather in pride to whisper, yes, I had my day. I had my day." And that's innermost to all those who wore the green and gold down through the years.
Oh, and what was the name of that poem you brilliantly recited there by your father, Brian McMahon? It's magnificent.
It's entitled The Old Kerry Footballer.
The Old Kerry Footballer. I got the chills when you recited that. I got the chills. It's magnificent.
Yes, I did. And it goes on. There are something like 8 verses in it.
Yeah.
And it does capture. It goes like, It shows times long ago when there were no big pavilions or dressing rooms. We stripped by frozen ditches in the dark of winter time, till we glittered like bacon flitches with the snow and the hoary rime. And we played upon boggy hillsides against the gale from the north and west, for we cherished but one ambition, to prove that Kerry was best.
And Owen, your brother Gary, and Gary sadly passed away. God, I can't believe it now. But back
2008.
It's that long ago. But he, in addition to being a very gifted songwriter and writer and balladeer, and he wrote masses as well, and he was a solicitor. I mean, you're such a Renaissance family. But he was also a brilliant footballer for Kerry. Tell us about his All Ireland.
I wouldn't put the word brilliant and football together. He was a handy footballer.
Oh, handy.
Handy footballer.
What's the difference between handy and brilliant?
Well, I'll explain that in a minute to you. He had great eye and hand coordination. And he scored the famous goal in 1962, which was up till the COVID All-Ireland was the fastest goal scored in an All-Ireland. But an old teacher of mine in St. Michael's, to get a hot ball off me and to get a rise out of me, I always said, and your brother plays football with his hands. And I replied, because his son used to play handball. And I said, and your son plays handball with his feet, because he could kick the ball at that time. But he wasn't a great footballer. He wasn't brilliant, but he did have hand-eye coordination. And when he scored the goal in 1962, I attribute that goal to the selector, Johnny Walsh, the famous Johnny Walsh, who won many All-Irelands in the 30s with Kerry, who caught him by the elbow going out onto the field and said, Gary, I was watching the man you were marking in the semi-final, and he's inclined to go for the ball, bald-headed. Now, remember, this is before any television or video analysis. And he said, if I were you, Gary, I'd stay back and get an early break. And as it turned out, the ball was thrown in. Mick O'Fielded it. It was fouled. It was placed for a free. He floated it in on top of the full-back and the full-forward. And out rushed the Roscommon back, John Oliver Morden. And he knocked all three of them. And the ball popped up in front of Gary. And the goalie was advancing, and without catching it, he just flicked it with his hand for a goal. Now, he would always be, people would say to him, oh, you scored the fastest one, and I'd be behind him and I'd say, never did a footballer do so little for so short a time and get so much mileage out of it, I would say to him, and we'd get a rise out of it. But, you know, they're the memories we have of it. He played with the great Mick O'Connell. He played with his travelling companions from Dublin that time. They were based in Dublin. Was the late Paddy Sheehy, the late Kevin Coffey, and Gary would always travel together. They played. Gary didn't play much football in Kerry, club football in Kerry. He played with Clannagale in Dublin, which was the club that the Kerry men, when they were in Dublin, gravitated towards, you know. But all those are memories that we have. My father wrote another very good one, and a memory comes to me now. I sang it before a recent All-Ireland under the Cusick stand, before the match with my great friend Sonny Egan, and it was in memory of the 55 All-Ireland. Maybe I'll give you a bar of it. Oh, the dawn it broke in Kerry as we raced across the ferry, and we set our course for Dublin with a beautiful hi-ho. And with joy our hearts were beating at the ocean waves were meeting, and the mountain sheep were bleating in Dol Kerry long ago. The Dublin lads and lasses, they came out in throngs and masses, with their sky blue ribbons streaming in the early morning, oh. As they cheered and crowed for Dublin, sure our joy with heart was bubbling, for we knew they'd soon be troubling with old Kerry long ago. So it goes on like that, and Sonny and myself sang it before the match, and there was a crowd to the Donegal, we met them, and they were looking at us as if we had five heads. But that is what tradition in Kerry is. We sing our songs, and we are delighted to sing our songs, you know.
And that still holds so true. And Sonny Egan, he's a great stalwart of GAA in the county.
He's a treasure. He's a national treasure himself. One other memory I was thinking last night, and my father told me of the ghost train. He was travelled to the matches in the ghost trains long ago. And he remembers coming down from an All-Ireland in 1926, and the train stopped at Kilmallock. And the shout from the platform went up, look west, you'll see the sky is red, there's a fire. That was the cinema fire, in Drumcolour, which the centenary is this year, 1926, when over 40 people were burned to death. And my father counts that, he says, looking out of the train and seeing the red glow in the fire in the west in Drumcolour. You know?
My Lord.
They're memories that we have. But again, coming back, my father, to the great story told about my father, in 1936 wrote a ballad in memory of the Clare goalie, Tommy Daly, on the windswept hills of Tulla, where the Clare men placed their dead for solemn use, stand sentinel above a hurler's head. And from the frozen Northland, the burden bleak and bare, the dirge of Tommy Daly goes marching on through Clare. Now, that was a famous one, and that history repeated itself years later when Gary wrote a ballad, a lament for Tommy Quaid. The apples in the orchard are ripe for picking now. Brown, gold and red, the leaves are shed from bare and dropping bough. The chestnuts are falling, lying scattered through the gale. But a hurler's eyes won't see them. Fiona's Tommy Quaid. Now, that was Tommy Quaid was reproduced in the Limerick Leader and the Observer. And a week later, there was another, the Ballad of Tommy Quaid, and there was my father's ballad of 1936, Tommy Daly, plagiarised word for word. And whereas the last line of the original was, the dirge of Tommy Daly goes marching on to Clare, he changed it, the dirge of Tommy Quaid goes marching on through Limerick Fair, so that it rhymed up along. So
well,
this intrigued Gary and myself, so we wrote to the author to attend the office, and he came in and we had a rise out of him, and we told him he no more wrote that than he wrote the poor gospel. So he admitted it, and Gary made up a poem for him and gave it to him as he was going out the door. He said, "Some men steal your thunder, some men steal your purse, but a man who steals a dead man's words is a thief far worse and worse. You stole pennies from a dead man's eyes, as mean as I ever saw. If you ever do it again, I'll give you a belt of the law."
So, an apt ending now, from a solicitor.
Well, yes, yes, yes. Now, we wouldn't be looking forward to the match were it not for the gallant opposition we have, Mayo. And I was looking
at Owen, could I ask you, would you be able to hold for a moment? I just want to keep you on a few more minutes. We just need to take one of those pesky ad breaks that we do need to take. So will you hold on there a minute or two longer, and then we'll come back to you. We'll talk about Mayo. I also want to get your views on the match on Sunday. And I know you want to pay tribute as well before we wrap up to the passing of a well-loved, talented musician. To stay with us. Good morning and welcome back to the Kerry Today programme. I'm Trasa Murphy, and we are speaking to Owen McMahon, the brother of the All-Ireland footballing star, songwriter and poet Gary McMahon, whose legacy endures almost 19 years after his passing. And obviously, and Gary and Owen were the sons of the great writer Brian McMahon as well. At the start of the programme, we played a performance from Dingle of Gary's song, The Kingdom's Dukas, The Kingdom's Green and Gold. Owen, thank you for staying with us a little while longer. Before we interrupted you, I interrupted you there. You wanted to say a few things about the competition on Sunday, Mayo.
Yeah, well, you know, no final would be worth anything if it wasn't the two best teams in the county, and they've come through the hard road this year, ups and downs, both teams, and, you know, we will be shouting our head off for the Kerry on Sunday. But I am reminded of 1960. The first All-Ireland I attended was 59, but the 60 All-Ireland sticks in my brain. That was Kerry v. Down, and Down, who the secretary of the Down County Board at the time was Maurice Hayes, whose mother was from Listowel. And Down beat Kerry, and Gary was playing, and there was sadness. We were sad for 5 minutes. But when I saw the delight on the Down team, the first Northern team to bring the Sam Maguire across the border, my regret was very, very minimal. So, indeed, if Mayo did triumph on Sunday, we would have our regrets for a few moments, but we wouldn't be grudged to them. We wouldn't be grudged to them. And there's a beautiful poem by Stephen Murphy, a Leitrim man living in Limerick, and he summarises it as follows. "So I'm heading up the next day with no great expectations. I'm simply looking forward to being part of the occasion, where the two best teams in Ireland now go to toe again. But I could claim to be neutral, but I really can't pretend. Because my father hails from Mayo, he was born in 53, and there's a few things in my lifetime that I would rather see than his look of disbelief quickly change into elation with a mix of sheer relief after decades of frustration. And for those who doubt their chances, they do well to now remember that the curse only applies to a Sunday in September. But he was 63 last Wednesday, Islabre Hala Honagado, and from all outside the capital, his father Lynn Mio, his father Lynn Mio." I think that captures the beauty and the fervour and the dedication of the Mayo followers who each year aspire to the Sam Maguire. Now, that's that. We look forward to Sunday and may hope we have a good game of football with a dry sod, and may the best team win. Right, but I think Kerry may have too many guns. We may have too much power over the 15. And, you know, it's a game now of 20 or 21 players.
Can I ask you, Owen, the Gary McMahon Traditional Singing Weekend, that goes on every October. Is it happening this year?
Yes, it's happening on the 9th, 10th and 11th of October, the second weekend in October, if my dates are correct, in Abbeyfield in the Ramble Inn. It was something which the West Limerick Singing Club came up with shortly after Gary died. And it's just a gathering of traditional singers who gather to sing from all over, from Derry, from Sligo, from Galway, Kildare, Cork. And we have singing sessions all 3 days, and then we make a presentation to an honoured member every year, and this year it's our great friends Maskeet and Mike and Mary Ruttle, and it's a lovely weekend. It's just simple. What I like about it is no microphones, no loud screeching of microphones. It's just in an intimate place, and there's great respect for the singer. And as we're on that, I'd like to pay tribute to a great West Limerick man who had passed away, a great musician, a great teacher, a great composer, and a great gentleman, Con Herbert from Broadford, who died suddenly during the week. Con was a gentle soul. He would be wouldn't be the first to be seen in a crowd, but he would be there listening and taking everything in. And he was a great teacher. He taught many, many pupils, and he was instrumental in forming the Aló Cayley Band years ago, which won the All-Ireland. And he passed on his gifts, his many gifts, to many young people and generations. And indeed, I was in touch with Ella Marie O'Dwyer, the beautiful singer there from Fremont, and she is brokenhearted at the death of her teacher and mentor. So, Gunnina de Trocher Aranam Dealey. So that's my story, you know.
Our deepest sympathies as well here indeed, in Radio Kerry to Con's family. And I understand he was also involved in Coltus and in the Wren Boys, and he brought a group to Listowel for many years for the All-Ireland Wren Boys competition.
He's gone too soon, like Gary, gone too soon. Now, I was also listening there, and I would like to emphasise it, that everybody who's travelling, that they would travel in safety in the roads this weekend, and God bless that we would have no tragedy, and take their time, leave enough time, and don't be rushing on the roads. I was thinking of funny, I never listened to my father when he was alive, because I was the youngest in the family, but since he's dead, I begin to recount all the things he said to us, and every time we left the house, either to go to a dance or to a match, he'd always call us, and he'd say, I'm going to give you one word of advice before you leave the kitchen. And we'd say, we know what you're going to say, that you might know what you're going to say, but you're going to hear it again. For God's sake, I beg and implore of you, don't die in a car. That's my message for this weekend. Travel safely and come home safely with Sam Maguire.
Owen, thank you so much for your time. You've been so generous with us this morning. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
My privilege. It's my privilege.
No, thank you. Thank you. And wishing you the very best, and that your plans to publish all of your brother Gary's work will come to fruition. We've been speaking to Owen McMahon, brother of Gary McMahon, All-Ireland football winner, great songwriter, balladeer. He wrote masses, and his legacy endures. His gifts are still enjoyed by so many, almost 20 years after his untimely passing at the age of 70. Owen, thank you so much. Wishing you the very best of everything.